One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Real quick before we get started, there's a really cool tournament coming up that we want to tell you about.
The Hunter Burton Memorial Open is an annual event going on in Hearst, Texas, and this year they're doing the CEDH tournament as one of their main events.
The tournament is March 15th, doors open at 8 a.m., 4 to 6 80-minute rounds depending on attendance.
They're giving away dual lands to the top four players, but if there's enough competitors, the first prize is going to be an unlimited time twister.
You can make a weekend out of it and enter their Sealed, Standard, Pioneer, and Legacy events as well.
So sign up for the tournament using the link in the description below, and we'll also include the link to the website so you can get the full event details too.
Now let's get into this podcast.
This podcast is brought to you by Dragon Shield.
That's my line.
I know, I'm just fucking around. Go for it.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAYTOWIN5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
But they became his lines because he said them faster.
Jamie Darko keeps stealing my lines. Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we're talking about winning a CDH.
I'm Cam.
I'm Dylan.
I'm injured.
And today we are talking about mulligans in CEDH.
That's right. Zach Hartley, our patron, requested that we talk about some updated views about mulligans, maybe talk about some decks, like a couple weeks ago we talked about what we thought the top decks in the meta were, so you can know what to expect on the play from these decks that you'll see most often.
Yeah, the turn zero of the game. For some, the pregame, for us, the early game is turn zero. That's what we're talking about today.
Correct.
What do you have in mind starting off? Are we going to do a specific deck, or do you want to just talk about mulligan concepts?
Well, I feel like maybe we should just start off with mulligan concepts, because I guess really the most important thing in CEDH is mulliganing, I want to say.
It's up there. It's up there. Yeah.
It's certainly up
there. It really is, yeah. I feel like what transformed my game the most was realizing that I had to start mulliganing more because I was so used to playing 60-card formats and for so long playing with mulligan rules where the second I mulliganed, I looked at a 6-card hand and I couldn't do anything else to manipulate the top card of my library or anything else. I was like 7 years of playing Magic that was like that.
Yeah, and 60-card also, a lot of hands, you are just, and this isn't always true, but there are decent chunk of decks and hands where you'll keep just because they're functional. You have a couple lands, you have a couple spells, and you just rely on your playability to make it work. But CDH, that doesn't always work. Like three land drops and curving out is not always going to be good in CDH because we're looking for such specific things. So it is a different mind shift, I think, when mulliganing.
Yeah, I think it's even more different too coming from 60 card because there's not that first free mulligan where the second seven is still a seven. Casual Commander players know this, but also I think culturally there's some pressure in casual to just like keep a hand that is good enough that it will do something, that you're not like doing nothing this game, because in casual games, at least that I remember, people are like eager to get started. You know, they don't want you to like really go shopping for like the perfect hand that's just going to dominate the table in casual, and it's just kind of not most people's casual mentality. So you end up not having the skill to do that when you go into CDH, and that really is what you should be doing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a big pitfall when it comes to casual EDH is not mulliganing, because it's multiplayer Magic. So the overall rules, whether you have somehow rules implemented or not, are going to be that you get a second seven.
Yeah, second seven is just also so incredibly broken. It doesn't sound like it is, but in practice, looking at 14 cards versus seven cards, I think is a really huge difference. And in CDH specifically, I think the one last thing that I want to mention is the power difference in cards is dramatic. The difference between Sol Ring and Talisman of whatever is gargantuan. So finding one of those cards or the other makes a huge impact. So looking for them is very, very important for that too.
Otherwise, like, everything else is really going to be pod dependent and deck dependent. When you know what your opponents are doing and you can start to plan with your hands around what they are going to be doing, like, that's when you're going to know what kind of hands to keep at that point.
That's another difference between 60 card. A lot of times in 60 cards, at least in game one, you don't know what your opponent's playing unless you know them personally or something, but you don't know what they're playing. But in CDH, we know what commanders our opponents are playing, so we have like an idea what strategy they could be on.
And you shouldn't be ignoring that. Like, yeah, like taking note of the commanders before you start making your mulliganing decisions is important, because if you're not mulliganing differently depending on what commanders you see in the pod, then you're not really evaluating what's going on. There are very few decks that have to do the exact same thing and then play the exact same role no matter who else is at the table.
Yeah, that's a great point. A lot of times what I'm looking for in an opening hand is just like some sort of card advantage, but there's other decks that you'll see that kind of force you to make sure that you also have interaction in your opening hand, and that sometimes might be a little bit more important than anything else.
Yeah, definitely where a card advantage is the number one thing that I'm looking for in most decks, whether that be card advantage in Rhystic Study or card advantage in Ad Nauseam or card advantage in maybe enough mana to cast my Chrom or something like that.
Yeah.
That's like the one thing I'm looking at. But certain decks like Rog'Sai, where I need to have interaction early on, I'll chuck a hand that might be medium, but if it doesn't have a counterspell, I'll get rid of it. Same thing for things like Magda and Kinnan, decks that are very hard to interact with if you aren't prepared. But if you are prepared, the matchup can go much differently. Those commanders are also, I'm going to look for something specific. If I'm playing against Timna Krom and Timna Thrasios, and I don't know if anyone still plays Kenrith or something like that, I'm probably just going to look for advantage. I don't want to look for specific interaction. I don't even want to interact with those decks. I want to just coast by them. I want to do my own thing while they do their own thing and hopefully get there somewhere.
He said, I don't know if anyone still plays Kenrith. Tell him in the comments, guys. Do it.
Yeah. There are some Kenrith players, I'm sure. There are some.
There's six of them.
All six of them are down there watching.
There's plenty. Kenrith is still fine.
Have you seen Kenrith a lot recently?
Not a lot, but like I certainly still have seen Kenrith.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen it a ton less recently, but yeah, I'm sure there's obviously still players that love the deck.
It's not me anymore, I'll tell you that. All right, do you want to just like start taking a look at some hands? Because again, like I think most of what we're going to learn from today is going to be in the midst of some hands that we're going to take a look at.
I think it's a great idea.
I think there's one more overarching concept that I think
is worth talking about. Oh,
we've kind of danced around this with a bunch of what we've been saying, but just to make it very explicit, in CDH, you must have a hand with a game plan, not just a hand that can play spells. An engine is one potential game plan. If you have a really good card draw engine, that is an entire game plan unto itself. If you're in some decks like Kinnan, you can keep like what they call a ramp to nowhere, and that means a ton of mana, but nothing other than Kinnan to do anything with that mana. But in other decks, you don't want a ramp to nowhere. So you might have a hand that looks great because you have like Sol Ring into Talisman and you'll be able to put a Grim Monolith down and you have like 8 mana on turn 3 or something. But if you have nothing to do with that mana, this is not a good hand, even though it looks like a not so CDH fast start.
A lot of other formats will let you keep hands that just need one thing, because you can eventually draw into that one thing. And since you only have one opponent to worry about, you have twice the amount of turn equity that way. But in CEDH, you don't really have that luxury. Like, your opening hand has to already have your full game plan. You can't go, oh, if I have mana, this hand's great. Oh, if I get a land, this hand's great. There's no flexibility here.
Especially because you and all of your opponents have the ability to look for a fully fleshed out game planned hand. So if you're the one without the game plan, it'll feel very obvious very quickly that your hand isn't going anywhere. You talked about how Kinnan can ramp to nowhere, but a good example of the opposite of that is a deck like Rog'Sai, Rogrok Silas. If your hand is all mana, I'm mostly not keeping that hand. Unless it's a mulligan very low, I don't want a hand to nowhere, because there's only so amount of action spells that I can find. I kind of need one of them early on, whereas Kinnan can do that very easy, because Kinnan can be an action spell. Just digging with Kinnan can be fine sometimes.
And I guess a little bit of an exception is some Timna decks can get away with just counting it. Like, if you have a hand that shows you you're going to be able to be drawing cards with Timna starting on turn 2 and drawing at least like 2 cards, then maybe we're talking about like the drawing is a plan.
Yes.
That's kind of card advantage engines that we talked
exactly.
about.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, that's why these commanders are so good, because they come with a built-in plan. Like, Kinnan's good because it has a built-in plan. Timna has
bad.
A built-in plan. Like, these decks have, they do. They have
they
a built-in
do, yeah.
plan.
Do you guys want to start with Kinnan?
Let's
while
start
we're talking
Kinnan.
So much about Kinnan then, and we have Tyler here.
Oh, sure.
Cool. All right. Well, I got an opening hand for you guys. So, but before we get into the opening hand, we got to figure out what our pot is. What are we playing against, and what is our seat?
Should we figure these out randomly, or just everyone pick a deck?
Well, we're each going to pick a deck at random. How about we combine those two ideas and merge them?
Magda.
Pick a deck at random? Okay. So I'll say Timna Thrasios. We're seeing it a lot lately.
Okay. And then I'll say Ukama Food Chain.
Okay.
Great. Okay.
When is the last time you saw Ukama Food
Literally
Chain?
Literally on Tuesday.
Really?
Yeah, and SC no Phillip has been picking it up a bunch too. Actually, I think it's probably one of the better food chain decks
right now. Is it better
right
than Master Transcendent?
I think so, because Master Transcendent consultation works a little bit better in that deck.
Master Transcendent gives your opponent to untap and do That's something in their true. Upkeep. And
I literally won that way against that deck.
And we're in
right?
Born Upon the Wind World, so yeah. That gives it too much time. Although, I believe, does Rad Counters get around the One Ring?
Rad Counters...
I think it's Loss of Life,
I guess technically by the time it gets to them, their protection wears off anyway, because Ukama and Kazur notably can't its target. It can't be through with the One Ring.
Oh, but you know what? If they have protection, the Master Transcendent gives it to target player.
Oh, yes, so you can't even target them.
You wouldn't even be able to touch them if you're going
they
through
don't,
like
neither
that.
Of them cared about the One Ring. I like Ukama and Kazur because it wins right now on the spot with the commander immediately right now.
Yeah, with a cool demonic consultation line that doesn't give a shit if you exile your Thassa's Oracle.
What seed order is Kinnan in this pod?
Tyler, pick a number at 1 through 4 at random.
It's not possible to do it at random. Let's say we're in seat 2.
Okay, so you pick 2, so that means we're going to be in seat 3. Okay.
Okay.
So in seat 3. It's Magda, Timna, Thrasios, Kinnan, and then...
Ukama, Kazur, Food Chain.
Ukama, Kazur, Food Chain. Okay. All right, so our hand is Mox Diamond, Misty Rainforest, Soul Ring, Void Winnower, Mystic Remora, Hole Breaker Horror, and... Cord of Calling. What a weird one. It has your Mystic Remora in it, but it has one land with your Mox Diamond.
It's kind of a trap, but I think you keep this anyway. And the reason is that you have two good options on turn one, depending on what you draw. If you draw a land, which is really what you're hoping for, then you're obviously jamming a land and the Mox Diamond, and you're casting both Soul Ring and Mystic Remora. That's the best case scenario, but knowing that we need to draw a land and the lands remaining in deck when one of them is out of the deck already right now is close to a third, a little less than a third. Our odds of having like that perfect start is 1 in 3, which is still decent, but we still have a good start either way anyway. Being able to cast Soul Ring right away is pretty good. Notably in Kinnan, unlike most other decks, if we don't draw land, we would pitch the only land to the Mox Diamond, just because Mox Diamond becomes so much better in Kinnan. But yeah, being able to cast the Mystic Remora kind of either way with Mox Diamond is probably worth it, even in Seat 3, where Mystic Remora isn't as good.
This is also probably minor too, but you really don't want to fetch here either. If you're really trying to find a land, fetching will just like take that land out of your deck. And that is very small percentage, but like...
But not we're going to be Mox Diming discarding the Misty kind of if we don't draw the land though, yeah. Right? Is it still Mystic Remora turn one to hope that you hit like the land quick enough, or do you want the mana?
You see what you draw, right?
It depends on the draw.
Do you want to hit that draw button, Cam? Yeah,
well, I guess because we're keeping this hand, so we'll know what we do. What do we?
I think it's
we keep the hand and we draw Flinthorn Elves.
If we draw
Flinthorn Elves,
Flinthorn
Elf.
I actually think then maybe we cast Flinthorn Elves and then play Mystic Remora next turn.
Okay.
Oh, we can Soul Ring and Mystic Remora in the same turn.
Yeah, and then we have more mana to keep the Mystic Remora alive.
Yeah, then the Mystic stays around for a while. Do you still Mox Diamond, discard the land, play no land? And
still
Mox Diamond,
discard the land, absolutely.
That's Everyone that's laughs something... and thinks you're not a threat, but you're actually like the biggest threat, probably.
For a Kinnan player, that's like a very small thing that I think is like super huge, is like making sure that if you have the option to play land or rock in Kinnan specifically, especially with no Dockside, just play the rock.
This is an unfortunate example, though, because it had both Void Winnower and Hullbreaker Horror, which is great for the late game plan, but like it doesn't help us get to the late game plan. If the rest of the hand wasn't so good, we probably would have thrown this one back.
But this was a great mold of 4, though, even. If this would have been a mold of 4, this would have been awesome.
Great example of like just like the power of Mystic Remora and Soul Ring is that like they can pull almost any hand into being keepable.
All right, well, maybe this one was just like kind of lame then. All right, let's try this one here. We've got Polluted Delta, Chrome Mox, Talisman of Curiosity, Sink into Stupor, Bridgeworks Battles, Void Winnower. We're not getting away with that one. And then Copy Artifact. Interestingly, like all of the MDFCs are here.
What makes Chrome Mox better? Your land. You can pitch a land to Chrome Mox now.
MDFCs are so good for Chrome Mox.
Right?
Yeah. I also like seeing these particular MDFCs because both of them are some of the only really good interaction in the deck against Magda, which is one of the hard decks for Kinnan to interact with. So either of these MDFCs actually do something against that deck that we normally have a very hard time interacting
with. Is that a copy artifact too?
That is a copy artifact.
That might be good against Magda, the artifact deck.
Yeah, a copy artifact can be very good. Are we still in seat 3 for this one?
We're still in seat 3, yeah. We're just playing another game with the same play group.
I think even as a first 7, I'm probably probably just keeping this one. Because this is a turn one Kinnan and turn two, I get to cast Talisman of Curiosity and have three mana available to allow me to cast either of the MDFC spells or copy artifact, copying something juicy. If we're really lucky, a one ring comes down on turn two before it gets to us. There's like a few directions this hand could go. It gives you options and a turn one Kinnan, and those are both really appealing.
Yeah, like it has a plan. Like in the dark, without knowing what you draw, I think you're going to Polluted Delta, Chromox, pitch either one of the MDFCs or the copy artifact, depending on what you draw and what your opponents have done so far, Kinnan, and then on turn two, like you said, hold up one of your other interaction spells and mana. That's a game plan.
Wow,
that's
okay. Plan. Well,
we've gotten lucky.
So far, Kinnan can't miss.
One more with Kinnan?
Now it can. We found a hand with no lands, and it has seven spells in it. Is it worth reading off seven spells that have no lands?
Nope.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
no. The only thing that's worth saying there is Kinnan can occasionally make do with hands that are just Chrome Mox, or if it's a Mox Opal that's turned on turn one.
Yeah.
Like, not all no land hands are bad in Kinnan, but you most
need
of them are.
Yeah. You
most
need mana on turn
this
one.
This one was Mox Diamond, and we drew Force of Negation.
And no lands.
No lands, yeah.
Womp womp. All right.
Garbage.
Second seven is Scalding Tarn, Grim Monolith, Gilded Drake, Consecrated Sphinx, Nezahal, Birds of Paradise, and Worldly Tutor.
A turn one Birds is pretty good, but on a first seven, that's just not good enough.
Second seven now.
This is second
this
seven,
is
though. Keep in mind
seven.
You're going to six.
I think even on a second seven, I think I would still go to six on this. Nezahal and Conch Sphinx in hand is just too... Like, we get to put one on the bottom, I guess, but then our game plan is just cast a Birds of Paradise and eventually cast a Worldly Tutor and hope to dig ourselves out. It's like,
yeah,
it's not very good.
Hope that Gilded Drake is good against Tynthras, which getting Timna might be really nice.
Ooh, maybe you'll steal their Seedboard Muse.
Gilded Drake is good against Magda too, which is huge.
It is, but Gilded Drake isn't a plan, and like, yeah, you've got to have a proactive plan here.
It's too much reliant on your opponents, and anytime you try to do that, they don't do anything good.
And planning to just beat one of your opponents, like Magda, like Gilded Drake is great against Magda, that's absolutely true, but planning to beat only one of your opponents is how you lose.
Yeah.
Well, we got a six here. We got Island, Mox Opal, Beseju, Mystic Remora, Tezzeret the Seeker, Birds of Paradise, and Elvish Mystic.
Oh my god, another stinker. Absolute trap.
It's really weird with your lands, but like, it has Dorks, it has Mystic Remora, which is like something my eye goes to, and a dead Mox Opal.
Yeah, it looks okay at first glance, but it's not. This is a trap, and this is why. The only thing you can do, I forgot about the Beseju. I'm sorry. I didn't see the Beseju.
I think this is keepable.
Yeah. On a six, this is keepable. I didn't see the Beseju. I thought we were stuck on only Island and couldn't cast the Dorks. But yeah, I think this is almost certainly turn one Dork, turn two Mystic Remora, and then the other Dork.
Okay, interesting. So that's two hands now that you are more leaning towards turn two Mystic Remora so that you can have mana to pay for it to keep it around longer rather than turn one.
It's worse, but when you're in seat three, you're unlikely to capture that explosive, like someone starts with a Chromox into a Soul Ring, into a Talisman, and I draw three cards. Like in seat three, you're just not gonna get that really, so like I think you're better off like not hoping it's gonna work out that way if you have another option, which is to cast the Dorks and still advance your board.
That makes sense. I mean, Kinnan wants to push towards the late game, so you want to set up so that you can basically pay for this Mystic Remora forever if you need to, and that makes sense rather than just looking for the explosive draw in the beginning. Because what I would want to do is Island, Mystic Remora, turn two, pay for the Mystic, play Beseju, play Birds of Paradise, and just do that route. But yours makes more sense for Kinnan.
Yeah, I think you start with the Dorks here.
So Kinnan always finds Mystic Remora is what we learned today.
Yeah, if you can find Mystic Remora with Kinnan, that's good.
And also a great example of like a lot of these didn't really have game plans other than just eventually cast and execute the Kinnan plan.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's just Mystic Remora and Dorks.
Draw and like, engine plus Kinnan is good though. That's what you need. Draw and mana. And Kinnan's got the mana, so you need the draw. That's what we're looking for.
Well, let's talk about a deck that Dylan and I have been playing an absolute ton of recently, and that is Thrasios Timna. So let's take a look at a hand.
Yeah, normally with Timna Thras, I'm looking for advantage. That's kind of it. Either ways to cast early Timna and Thrasios, ways to get Seedborn Muse into play. Normally one tutor is kind of like all that's needed. This deck is the closest to keep a hand that can play magic that I get in CDH. Where like, if I have two lands and can cast spells, the spells are just so good, that's just going to be good. It's just going to be good most of the time.
Stinky.
This is my list that we're going to take a look at, but I think we should switch over to Dylan's list, though, too.
Because it's better.
sure, yeah,
oh,
sure,
man.
Maybe. You know what? Now we're not going to switch over to your list. We're only going to look at my list now.
I obviously think mine is better. Why would I play a list that I don't think is good, right?
Yeah. All right, so we have Misty Rainforest, Bloodstained Mire, Arid Mesa, Soul Ring, Tainted Pact, Opposition Agent, and Seedborn Muse.
Oh, I kind of just said that I would keep a hand that has anything in good cards, which is this is an example of, but I don't love this one.
It seems very unappealing because like you don't
want...
Oh, we got to figure
out. Is it the same pot as before?
Keep the one we just did and then mix up the other two. So you're still playing Kinnan,
okay.
But we're going to do two new ones other than that.
Okay.
What's the first one?
Sisse.
Okay.
Well, I think I'm realizing now that opposition agent is in this hand that I picked Sisse.
Oh, yeah, this is great.
It was
yeah.
random, I swear, though. It was
random. Magda.
Yeah.
Oh, we're just doing Magda again. Okay.
In that pod specifically, I would keep a turn one Sol Ring into turn two opposition agent into... The turn three Seedborn doesn't great because you don't have a chance to sneak in Thrasios by that point.
No,
but
yeah, that's the thing. Like your sequencing of this is going to be a little bit clunky because your Sol Ring doesn't help you with your Thrasios or to get your Thrasios out. And because you have Seedborn Muse, that's like really what you want to be doing.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something because I don't really play Tainted Pact decks. Is there a world in which like obviously you probably crack for a land that can tap for black and turn one Sol Ring here. And then coming around the next turn, you're going to play a land, do something and maybe hold up Oppo. Like,
yeah.
Is what this looks like it's going to be. Is it more appealing to hold up Oppo if you also can Tainted Pact and Forbidden Tutor?
A little
is
bit.
That,
yeah.
Is that makes actually it, something you would do?
That makes it helpful because if someone goes for another type of win, if they go for an Adnaz, I have an option to like Tainted Pact into interaction if it seems like no one else has anything. I think this hand is fine. It's tricky. I don't know that I would keep it on a first... let me think. I think I might.
Because with Tainted Pact, if you do get the Oppo on like an unconditional tutor, all you have to do is get Thoracle and you have both halves.
You have both halves. I think I would keep this hand, especially because by turn three, I can attack with Oppo and draw a card and then just like stay alive and keep on hitting my land drops and drawing cards. I think this hand is keepable. It's
honestly,
boring, but it's keepable.
Yeah, that's the thing. And honestly, there's going to be some draws that will also make me want to play Thrasios on turn two then as well. Like if we draw Fierce Guardianship, that will make me want to get Thrasios out on turn two, which makes Seedborn Muse on turn three like way more appealing. And then that also unlocks Opposition Agent for me in that same turn cycle and Tainted Pack. So I think I normally would want to lean towards Oppo on turn two, especially if Sisse is in this pod. However, I could see myself like getting a specific draw that makes me go, oh no, let's just set up for turn three, the ultimate engine, and just go off.
Yeah, if I hit Fierce Guardianship, I would probably play turn two Thrasios instead. So that turn three Seedborn Muse is really good. Definitely. Yeah, if you hit free interaction like that, you'd switch.
It is worth mentioning, too, though, that this is a case where Opposition Agent isn't that likely to get you the tutor you need for Thassa's Oracle because you're against Magda and Kinnan in the
yeah.
pod we talked about. It is much more being a stacks piece that those decks, not Kinnan so much, but Sisse and Magda have a very, very difficult time winning through.
That'll be helpful also for the table because we'll know if they try to remove the Opposition Agent. It'll be easy for the rest of the table to know this is the point to interact because normally you don't know when to interact with Magda, but if there's something that they must get rid of, you know now. If they're getting rid of Oppo, now is the time to interact.
Yeah, it makes it a great political tool for your favor then too. Like we can talk to Kinnan and say, hey, like I don't want to.
Right.
You can't get rid of this yet.
Fellas, yeah. Let me tell you, the Kinnan player won this game. I promise you.
You think so?
Because
yeah.
you stop the other two opponents that Kinnan has a hard time interacting with.
That's
and
true.
You play a Seedborn Muse and then they go, they can Phyrexian Metamorph?
Yeah, they can copy it or Gilded Drake it. Yeah, that's true. Hopefully you have Tainted packed up by the time that you try to do something, yeah. but you're right. Kinnan's the big worry right now.
All right, let's look at another one. All right, here we go. We got Exotic Orchard, Scrubland, Polluted Delta, Grand Abolisher, Wishclaw Talisman, Snap, and Lotho. Easy toss.
Nothing. All two drops. Mono two drops. If you were mulliganing very low, if this was like a five or something, and I could keep like land, Lotho, Snap, and something else, okay, that's fine. But on a and with this is like a first seven, right to the shitter.
Right to the shitter, yeah. Here's one. Chrome Mox, Shifting Woodlands, Scalding Tarn, Sol Ring, Flusterstorm, Mental Misstep, and Retraction Helix.
Oh, my stars.
Okay. So I'm not playing Shifted Woodlands in my list, so this one will be different for me, but this seems fine.
I typically like Shifting Woodlands just because I do like the ability. Like, Kinnan is a piece that I just get into play early sometimes and is always removed. So the ability just to like have an uncounterable Kinnan that I can always get back,
sure.
I just kind of like, right? That being said, it is showing the downside of Shifting Woodlands here. However, this is still a turn one Chrome Mox into Sol Ring into Shifting Woodlands if you want for turn two Thrasios.
I would go turn one Thrasios.
I think there's a world here where, you can't turn one Thrasios, turn two Timna, can you?
Okay, let's think. The Scalding Tarn needs to ideally get a green source for shifting.
Yeah,
that's bad.
It
you have
work.
To pitch a blue card. That's bad.
That's kind of why I'm
Unless
thinking.
Unless you
want to
top deck a land or something.
That's kind of why I'm thinking, like, with this current hand, my plan would be get Shifting out first so that I don't have to worry about it. And then I can use Scalding Tarn to, like, help me get the other colors that I need a little bit more.
Yeah.
I still think this is a very strong start, no matter how you slice it.
I think this is keepable.
Especially with a mental misstep in hand. That's something I really like to see in an opener, just to know that I'm going to be able to slow my opponents down when I'm in a deck that wants to outvalue other decks, and this is certainly one of those.
What do we put under Chrome Mox?
I think Retraction Helix.
I would probably put Retraction Helix under Chrome Mox.
See, that's the first thing I'm thinking, but then like I'm also realizing we're up against like Kinnan, Magda, and Sisse, and like a lot of times like Flusterstorm's not going to do anything against their win line.
That's a really good point.
So like
Flusterstorm.
I think my first thought would have been Retraction Helix, but like knowing that that might be the only form of interaction I have for some of these decks.
How else are you going to bounce the fucking Void when we're
like I'm getting fucked over by that thing, so at least I can do that.
I'm trying to think if it's right to get Tropical Islands and turn one Thrasios, or it really depends on what we draw, because I think what this hand would really need is like a Timna, because you need a way to actually, you don't have no advantage here. You're gonna run out of stuff and Chromox is gonna get you down on cards.
I think whether you turn one Sol Ring or turn one Thrasios depends on what you draw.
Yeah, it depends so much on what you draw. If I have a way after my first draw to get a turn two Timna, I'm gonna fetch for that instead of getting Thrasios.
But
out.
If you draw a Rhystic Study, you're playing turn one Sol Ring immediately.
Definitely keeping this hand. Can we draw a card and just see what our first turn would be?
Yeah, because that's going to depend on everything, because we got Veil of Summer. Okay, yeah, that's kind of lame.
Does that make it cleaner with the green?
Because now Scalding Tarn can get... No, because you still don't have a guaranteed way to get turn two Timna off of it.
Yeah, it doesn't change your pip issue at all.
Yeah, you get UC, but you still don't have a way to get white.
Yeah, this one was probably...
Shifting Woodlands.
This one, I mean, we're still leaning in towards Thrasios a little bit here. With this hand, you can still turn one Thrasios and then... Turn two, hold up a Thrasios activation. You can search for your Tropical Island with Scalding Tarn, Chromox out your Thrasios, and then on your next turn, you can get Shifting Woodlands down, cast Sol Ring, and then have four mana up so that you can activate Thrasios. So I think that's where this plan goes. It ends up not being the strongest hand, but like it's still serviceable because on turn two, we can hold up three different interactive spells that we might want to, or two of them, depending on what we choose.
I stand by the keep, but it's another boring keep, I think, which I think a lot of these Thrasios Timna hands look a little bit boring, but I think this, is fine. Turn one Thrasios, turn two activate, I think is fine.
I think they all look boring.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
From a fast break to recovery, Indiana hospitals are here for every Hoosier, regardless of their ability to pay. That's why we're teaming up with legislators on a winning playbook to lower costs and protect access to care across our communities. Because good policy doesn't leave anyone on the sidelines. Learn more at HoosierLifeline.com.
All right, so here's another one. Man, this one has so many lands. It's got Shifting Woodlands, Tropical Island, Tundra, Bloodstained Mire, Lotus Petal, Grand Abolisher, and Touch the Spirit Realm.
Stink right to the garbage.
Yeah, this is bad. Second seven? Nothing. Yeah, draw another hand. Okay, Shifting Woodlands is
showing up in all of these.
Showing up in all of these, and it never does in person so well.
Dylan,
oh my God.
Does your list run Shifting Woodlands?
It does not.
Just wondering.
It's bad. I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's good in the deck.
Chrome Mox, Shifting Woodlands, Arid Mesa, Esper Sentinel, Silence, Ranger Captain of Eos, and Smothering Tithe.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I feel like this is a keep. Turn one, Esper Sentinel. You have silenced the whole game as an interaction.
Yeah. I think you turn one Esper Sentinel. I don't know that you play the Chromox right away, because I don't know what you want to pitch. Depends on what you draw. And then hopefully you turn two Ranger Captain, turn three Smothering Tithe. Is that the plan? Maybe turn one Esper, turn two Timna. That sounds good.
Turn one, Esper. Turn two, Timna sounds a little bit better. Yeah, I agree.
So, wait, do you just play the Shifting Woodland because it's going to come in tapped and just get down the Esper?
Maybe, yeah. I think, yeah, you, yeah, Shifting Woodland's tapped. Play the Chromox to pitch.
Probably Ranger Captain because maybe you Ranger already Captain, have the Esper the and you can keep the silence then. That's yeah. cheaper.
And then the Arid Mesa finds a black source and you can turn two, Timna.
That's what I'm
that's
thinking.
Pretty good.
I think that's good. And then you have Smothering Tithe too. So if you can survive and not die, Smothering Tithe will help you take over very quickly.
I think this hand's good.
We have
I think
a plan.
This hand's good, yes.
Early card advantage. A little bit of interaction, not a ton, but we don't want a ton. And then Smothering Tithe to help us if we survive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'll keep this one.
Shifting Woodlands is really not looking good here.
Not looking good.
Not looking good here. Yeah.
It's so hard to like evaluate Silence now because I've been playing so much Timna Quark. And Silence in that deck is so much better than Silence in any other deck because it's like, if you have even one of the pieces down, it's like, this Silence might be cast three times. Like,
yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You need Flusterstorm, yeah.
Should we do another deck?
Let's do another deck. Dylan, let's take a look at your Rog'Sai deck.
Rog'Sai. I've made a couple of changes recently to Rog'Sai. Orcish Bowmaster is back in there. The One Ring is back in there. Necro Dominance is not in there.
26 Shadowborn Apostles are in here.
Oh, you chose to make it worse. I like that.
All right, let's take a look at a hand. So we got Wooded Foothills, Demonic Consultation, Demonic Tutor, Born Upon a Wind, Fierce Guardianship, Gamble, and Flare of Duplication.
Probably. What's our pod? What are we playing against?
We are playing against... Let's choose a completely different pod this time.
Yeah, okay.
I would like to say that we are playing against... what's a deck?
Najeela.
That's a good deck. All right, so you pick Najeela.
Yep.
Glarb.
And then I will pick Malcolm Vial Smasher.
Okay. What seat deck are we going in?
We are in Flip a Coin.
I don't have a coin. If the pen is facing towards you, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Beautiful.
1, 2, 3.
Three. Right. So we are in third. Okay. So it's Najeela. What did you say?
Glarb.
And then I said a deck.
That's I'm in Rocks, so I'm third. Yeah. And then Pirates is fourth.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. I just said the deck third, but it's going fourth.
What is it? Is it turn one gamble with tons of protection and then no mana?
Turn one gamble with, yes, two forms of protection so long as you cast Fierce Guardianship first and then Flare of Duplication.
You could gamble and you could dupe the gamble and search for two things.
Well, what's your first gamble? What are you looking for? Because you don't have, like, any follow-up mana. Like, we have Consultation and we have Demonic Tutor, but...
It depends on what you draw. You see you draw... I think this is a keep, but you still see your draw before you gamble, and that really will impact what you're gambling for.
I think I agree. Realistically, no, there's no mana, though. You have nowhere to go. You would need to, like...
But you can gamble for mana if you really have to.
I personally would toss this hand, because I don't think it does enough, and I think that gambling is scary. So when I have, like, no other backup...
I think you keep. I think you find Culling Ritual. I think you try to find Culling Ritual, and you dream of a situation in which on turn two...
Culling Ritual?
Culling the Weak.
I was like, dude, aren't we in Rog'Sai? What are you talking about?
I think you find Culling the Weak, so turn two, you can Flare of Duplication the Culling the Weak... And make 8 mana, and then Demonic Tutor for Ad Nauseam or something.
You can't sack it. You can't sack him to
Oh, right, because it's both an additional class. That doesn't work. That's not good.
See what we draw.
Well, but we have to decide if we keep or not before we're drawn.
Okay. Yeah, I'm keeping.
I think it's still...
I, the expert Rog'Sai player, I'm keeping.
Yeah, no, is it just Dark Ritual then? And then you just dupe the Dark Ritual, and you make 6 black mana, and then you have...
You can just, like, Necro. And then you can tutor, go for a Necro line instead.
You have Demonic Tutor Necro. I would keep this on the back of gambling for Dark Ritual, and then as long as you don't get rid of Demonic Tutor or Flare of Duplication, you have a turn to Necro with Fierce Guardianship backup. You could get rid of some of that, but I would absolutely keep this hand. What are we drawing?
Draw.
Infernal Plunge.
What does it do? Nothing really.
Nothing.
It gives you an extra card that you can get rid of to gamble. Is what it does.
Yeah, that's what it does.
Which is fine, which is good.
Okay.
And then you even have the Born Upon the Wind for the Necro. So this is like a potential turn two win or like a really good setup for turn three, which I think I would keep.
Here's a hand that I know that I would keep. Lotus Petal, City of Brass, Bloodstained Mire, Mana Vault, Swan Song, Valley Floodcaller, and Wheel of Fortune.
What seed are we in again? Three?
We're in third.
Yeah.
So the like surprise turn one wheel isn't as good as it could be, but it's...
I think it's almost good enough. How much mana are you able to have left over? You're able to have left over one colorless mana? If you land Mana Vault...
You'll have one colorless mana left over,
Lotus Petal, you have one colorless left over. Who's going before me? Najeela
went first.
And then Glarb, and then us, and then... And you get to wheel away the Grixis player's hand, but you get to refill Najeela and Glarb.
I don't think you're scared of refilling Glarb. I think it's just Najeela. If Najeela has a really good start, you're going to feel pretty scared of doing this wheel hand.
I think I would probably keep, and I would just depend if I turn one wheel, depending on what Najeela does. If Najeela plays land Mana Dork, I'd probably wheel. If Najeela dumps their hand, I might hold the Valley Floodcaller and try to wheel like later when I, and maybe like not cast anything and like wheel on turn two or three where I have like more mana left over so I can just like try to win on the spot.
You could instant speed wheel at that point then too.
I like, would, so the mana vault would be tapped.
If
so
you,
it would, I would
if
have
you get the flood card down, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But I think if my opponents do nothing, if they just play like land and not really anything, I think I would just turn one wheel to disrupt and my next seven is going to be better than what they draw now at least, probably. But if they do dump their hands, then I think I hold up wheel. But I still think this is a keep because it has mana and it has one of the actions spells that I'm looking for, plus a little bit of interaction in the Swan Song, so I would keep this one.
And you draw Rain of Filth.
That makes me want to hold the wheel.
Yeah, because then you get to cast Rain of Filth and then wheel on top of it.
And then wheel on and have a bunch of extra mana left over. So that makes me want to push towards like a turn three wheel if possible and maybe like weirdly hold up Swan Song and try to like counter Heuristic Study. I would keep that one too.
All right, well, let's take a look at one last Rog'Sai hand then. So we have Mox Amber, Misty Rainforest, Mox Diamond, Odawara, Volcanic Island, Arid Mesa, and Cabal Ritual. This all
is
mana.
This is the hand we
ramped to nowhere.
This is exactly what we were talking about.
Ow. Oh, are you okay?
Fuck.
Oh. It was all mana. We're not going to keep an all mana hand. If it was Kinnan, we would. But in Rog'Sai, you need something that gets you somewhere. At least a Ragavan, or at least something that can get you somewhere.
Kinnan isn't the only deck that can keep
that's
an all
true.
Mana hand.
I'm just using it as an example.
There's also Atraxa and Itali, and that's it. There are no others.
Okay, yes, that's true.
All right, here's a weird one. We got Mox Amber, Talisman of Indulgence, Cabal Ritual, Ad Nauseam, Gamble, Deflecting Swat, and Wheel of Fortune.
Yes, right? This is turn two or three.
You really need to draw land.
We have no lands.
If you draw land,
it's no lands. We have red mana to gamble for a land.
There's like no lands in this
you
deck.
You can still Mox Amber the gamble to get.
There's no Mana Crypt anymore. If you could get Mana Crypt still, if Mana Crypt is still in the format, I would keep this. I would gamble for Mana Crypt and try to play Talisman off of the Mox Amber. I still think it would be a keep if one of these cards is a land, but I'm not keeping it on this. Let's go to six.
All right, let's go to six. So we got Underground Sea, Volcanic Island, Steam Vent, Rain of Filth, Tainted Pact, Beseech the Mirror, and Daze.
Mm-mm. Still no.
Going to six.
You need a little bit of mana, and then Rain of Filth is a late game ritual, so this is still close-ish, I think, but no.
All right, so then what about Marsh Flats, Flooded Strand, City of Brass, Imperial Seal, Culling the Weak, Demonic Council, and Born Upon a Wind?
So this is a five, right?
This is a five.
This is a five.
So we have the ability for Demonic Council. We have the ability to get a fetch land, a culling instant, and a creature Rograk into our graveyard pretty quick, but that's only three out of four.
If you turn one Imperial Seal, you have land Imperial
sorcery,
Seal,
yeah.
And then if you culling and put Rog in the graveyard, that is your four.
Yeah, I hadn't gotten to Imperial Seal yet. I was saying the land, we have the instant, we have the thing. I think this is a keep, and you keep fetch land, Imperial Seal, culling the weak, Demonic Council, and a second land. We have a sorcery, instant, land, and creature. That's Delirium. Maybe we search for a counterspell, Fierce. And then how much mana do we have on turn two?
Well, you
we
don't
have
win
five
off
mana.
The Demonic Council on its own, though, right?
No, you don't, but you can get like a Necropotence.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
I think on turn two, you'll have five mana. So I think you Imperial Seal for Fierce Guardianship and then try to tutor for Necropotence. And then you have the Born Upon the Wind. Although we'd have to get rid of the Born Upon the Wind if we kept the second land.
But you have a draw, too.
Which I think, would you get rid of the Born and then hope to hit a second land? I think you kind of need the second land.
I would be keeping two lands.
And then just put the Born at the bottom.
Cards, yeah.
And then you turn one fetch land, Imperial Seal for Fierce Guardianship, play Rograk, and turn two, second land drop, Culling to make four. Demonic is on, you have five mana, and you search for Necro.
I'm just not positive that I agree that Fierce is the
what do you think? Something instead? More mana or a way to cast Ad Nauseam?
Well, I mean, it depends on what your opponents do, right? But if you think you can get away with it, I think you just get something that's more proactive, like, you know, either be it more mana, like Soul Ring or something, or what else do you want once you have the a Necro down?
I don't know.
Born Upon the Wind.
I'm tempted. Yeah, I'm tempted to just like find more protection
at
that
point. Right.
Maybe
you're right.
Yeah. You could put the Born on the bottom and then Imperial Steel for the Born. Make sure you get a sorcery in the
yard. My issue with it is that the Fierce Guardianship kind of does nothing, because if you're sacking to Culling the Weak anyway, then you're going to be casting the Council anyway,
you know,
without
you're
Fierce
right.
Guardianship.
Maybe it's just Pack. No, but Pack isn't great either. You're right about that. Maybe it's Daze. Maybe it's a free Counterspell. Maybe Eldo Days is like a weird card to tutor for. Because I don't really think you want Pact of Negation, but you definitely need a free Counterspell if you want to turn to
maybe
Necro.
Maybe it's just Breach. Maybe you do this
maybe
in
it's
a way.
Just Breach.
Maybe you do this in a way that if your Necro gets countered, you can immediately Breach and recast the entire line.
Maybe okay.
It's, well, Demonic Council is notoriously really bad with Underworld Breach. It's not a good tutor because you can't use it again, but maybe you Imperial Steel
yeah,
4.
You have the Imp Steel and the Culling again.
Yeah.
And the Rug.
Yeah.
But you can only really do one of
these.
You
can
only
do one. So one of the tutors would have to find Brain Freeze, the other would find Breach, and you have to hope that you may find mana, which you could.
I think if you're finding Breach in that case, it's just like acting as regrowth. You're just like regrowthing your Necropotence then that got countered if that happens.
If you M-sealed for Breach and then turn two, you make five-ish mana, four of it black. You don't have enough for blue. You don't have enough to make blue.
We're doing this all wrong. You M-seal for the Necro in the first place instead of spending the council on the Necro on a later turn.
Okay.
And
you just jam Necro.
And you just immediately jam Necro, and then you council as your backup plan for later.
That's okay. Okay, yes.
That's a
good
turn two Necro Born Upon the Wind.
But council never really gets turned on if it once Necropotence comes out because it exiles stuff so much. It can still turn on. There's other ways to put things in the graveyard.
I think what he's saying is that you can just win the game on turn two.
You bottom council
of,
and you keep Born Upon a Wind.
Yeah.
Okay. Bottom council?
Like you don't
yeah.
need council because like this hand, you just, on turn two, because you Imp Sealed on turn one, you can sack Rograk, make four. You still have a land up, so you use three of that on Necro, and then you have one black in your land for Born, and then you can just go, you can try to win the game on turn two.
It's completely naked.
But it does play around Mindbreak Trap, which is the other one doesn't play around Mindbreak Trap, because you can just Culling into Necro, so the Necro will be the second spell, which might be better. I was thinking, like, I want a way to find some type of protection off of the turn two Necro,
right.
But your way of just, like, keep the Necro and then just like have a tutor for later and then be able to keep the Born, maybe that's better. Maybe you just keep land, Imperial Seal, Culling, Born, and put the tutor to the bottom and say, we just need the one tutor.
I don't hate that. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. That sounds like a great line. So if this was a five though, so we put back the tutor and the City of Brass because just two fetch lands is good.
Yeah. I think that's good.
Cool.
Cool.
Was
okay.
that our third hand?
I think so.
Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. I think both of these lines have pros and cons, but I do think yours is safer, which I like, which is good. But is it safer? I guess it's not. It's less protected because the other line does allow you to at least play Days, but you don't have Born Upon the Wind then. You just have singular protection. What's better? I'm curious as to what people listening would do. Would you rather Imperial Seal for Days so that turn two you can set up a Culling of the Week to Demonic Council for Necropotence and possibly hold up Days? Or would you rather just Imperial Seal for the Necropotence so that turn two you can jam it and keep Born Upon the Wind in your Mulligan decision and have Born Upon the Wind, the step two, rather, but it's not protected? Which would you rather?
We're back on Would You Rather.
Would you rather? Yeah. I'm too stupid for that now. I have a concussion. I have no fucking idea what's going on.
I have another deck that we could go over too if we wanted to do that.
Sure. What deck?
I have a Timna Krom because I feel like we see a lot of Timna Krom out there. If we want to do some Mulligans for a Timna Krom.
Let's do Timna Krom.
So I found a list that did top four a very big CEDH tournament recently. So I figured we'd just go over that one.
Cool.
So that one has Odawara, Under City Sewers, the blue.
Wait. Pod Composition and Seed Order.
All right. So
these are really important to consider before you are mulliganing. Yeah.
You're right. We're going first this time.
We're going first?
We're going first.
We're going first, yeah. And we're playing against
three Rog'Sai decks.
Three Rog'Sai decks. Okay, great.
No.
So, yes. No.
Fellas.
No, we are. We are.
It's random.
It's never gonna
happen. I randomly
happen.
Picked them. I picked them randomly.
Yeah. Sometimes you roll the dice and that's what happens, Tyler. Odawara, Undercity Sewers, Command Tower, Esper Sentinel, Dark Ritual, Diabolic Intent, and Toxic Deluge.
So, knowing
that we're against three Rog'Sai players,
Turn Esper's great.
We have to just be trying to win the game sooner than that.
Yeah, turn one Esper is incredible against three Rog'Sai players, which will never happen.
You don't have any interaction, though, for them, which is kind of funny.
Which is a shame.
Not yet. Going to be drawing fucking four cards per turn cycle.
But you have Dark Ritual and Diabolic Intent?
I would certainly be interested in turn one Esper, maybe turn two Dark Ritual into Timna, depending on what we draw, Dark Ritual into something else or just Diabolic Intent. But I would keep this one off the bat. Turn one Esper with a bunch of rituals and tutors is great.
I think also you got to remember that if we're taking seriously that you're in a pod with three Rog'Sai players, none of them are mulliganing with respect to you. They are all thinking to themselves, I'm in a pod that is just, this is literally pod racing, right? This is a sheer race. I need to keep a hand that plays as fast as it can. And so they are all going to feed the Esper. No one is going to pay for the Esper. So like that Esper has a much higher value than it would if in other contexts. in other pods.
I think it's safe to say that it's going to be like an ancestral recall a turn. You're going to be drawing three cards, maybe two, but three cards like every single turn, I would say. So yeah, I would certainly keep that one.
Yeah, I would certainly want to keep this one too. All right, I'm going to take a look at one more hand. We're going to do one more hand. We got Gemstone Caverns, Marsh Flats, Brain Freeze, Fierce Guardianship, Mind Break Trap, Gamble, and Deflecting Swat.
This is a kind of hand that we haven't really talked about, but I feel very strongly that you should never keep hands where you're just volunteering to be the police. Like, I'm going to stop everyone, but I don't have the tools to win myself.
Although, honestly, if there is a pod to do it at, it's the All Rock'sai pod. If we're still at that crazy pod.
So last time I did that, there were three Nadu players and then someone who was not on Nadu. And the problem was when you play the police, you just stop one player at a time until just one of them eventually wins, which is why, like, I feel like you also kind of have to race them a little bit at the same time.
Yeah, but you do have Timna. Like, you have a way for a turn two Timna with this hand. Like, you have the advantage.
How do you have turn two Timna?
Off the gemstone, right?
You're on the play.
Oh, we're on the play, right? We're on the play. This hand sucks. If you're on the draw, I think this hand, I don't know. I think turn two Timna backed up by protection is fine.
Does this guarantee turn two Timna, though?
I guess you have to rip a land in the first two turns, which is, I was 1-3, so not so good.
Yeah, so like,
it's not great. I think it's, especially in the C1, it's definitely a mulligan.
I would ship that. It's considerable, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a hand. Meticulous Archive, City of Traitors, Gemstone Cavern.
They're playing Glasses of Urza?
Yeah. This is wild.
What does that card do?
This is, you can tap it to look at a player's hand.
Is it one or zero to put down?
It's one to put down, I believe.
What a meta. What a meta game we're at.
What a meta game. Yeah, one mana Glasses of Urza. So those are the first four cards. We have Dranith Magistrate, Imperial Seal, and Fierce Guardianship. I'm not going to lie, fellas. This seems like the hand that I want if I'm playing Blue Farm against three Rock'sais. I know I just said we don't really like want to play Table Police, but like, we get a lot of information here. We get Dranith Magistrate, which seems really good against...
No, it doesn't.
Underworld Breaches. Like, that's like 50% of their win conditions that it stops.
Let's just get rid of it by then. If you had a way to get Dranith before they put Rock'sais in, I would say absolutely. Before they get their Rograks in. All their Rograks are going to be in by then. It does shut off Breach, but by the time they're breaching, they've already ad nauseam normally, so they have, like, one removal spell.
I guess.
But you have Fierce to counter it. This is another one on the play. Gemstone feels so bad. This is already a mulligan to six, basically. And you have, like, a tap land and then a city that, like, is two mana that's going to go away. Like, all your lands suck.
Honestly, Glasses of Urza kind of makes it feel like it's a five then.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just because I'm a little jaded
especially on that card right now. Rock'sai players. It's just like, what are you going to do? Like, tap it and be like, oh, that guy's going to win next turn? And they're like, yeah, it's Rock'sai. Like, obviously.
Well, this deck is clearly not built to play against three Rock'sai decks.
Yeah.
All right. So City of Brass, Tundra, Witchclaw Talisman, Necropotence, Pact of Negation, Brain Freeze, and Gamble.
This one feels bad, too. You could gamble for something? I don't know. Yeah, I would mulligan that one. This hand's great.
Is this a five? This hand's great. Yeah, this hand, we're going to five now. Yeah. We got Scrubland, Exotic Orchard, Windswept Heath, Soul Ring, Smothering Tithe, Demonic Tutor, and Volatile Stormdrake.
Easy keep. Turn one, Soul Ring. Turn two, Smothering Tithe.
Yep. I think we're pitching one of the lands and the Volatile Stormdrake.
Yeah, I think we're pitching Exotic Orchard and Drake.
I think in a regular pod, I would be... It depends so much on the pod, but there are certainly pods that I would want the Drake over the Demonic Tutor, I think.
Yeah, there are also pods where I keep the Exotic Orchard, but when you're saying we're against three Grixis decks, Exotic Orchard is suddenly weird. So
it makes most of your colors three or four colors. Yeah, it's pretty close.
It's bad on the play on turn one, but it's not the worst.
And you have Scrubland. Yeah, I would keep Exotic, Scrubland, Soul Ring, Smothering Tide.
Not Windswept Heath.
Well, you have all your colors in Scrubland Exotic.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
You could keep Windswept and like hope that like it feeds a breach later. Yeah, you could do that.
Let's just also note, like, we're saying this is a keep because we're at five and Smothering Tithe turn two is very good.
Yeah.
But you're praying that one of the Rock'sai players can stop one of the other Rock'sai players because guaranteed, like with this hand, one win attempt is going to come in before you have the gumption to do anything about it. Yes. Like, it's going to happen.
No, what's going to happen with this hand is we're going to go turn two, Smothering Tithe, and then one Rock'sai player is going to wheel and then can't win. And then another Rock'sai player is going to wheel and then can't win.
And then you have a billion treasures.
Yeah, and then you can just win because you drew so many cards. Yeah.
After giving you 21 treasures, the second Rock'sai player is going to go, I would also like to wheel.
Yeah.
I think you have to draw well with this hand for sure. I think there's also a world where you keep the Drake and take the player after you use Rograk so that they are behind. because they're going to effectively kind of be on the play after you.
That's crazy business.
I guess you tutor for a counterspell instead.
That's the all over again. You don't Drake a Rograk.
I don't know. Against Rograk. Against Rograk, I would.
Sure, it turns off some of the free spells, but you can still, like, Diabolic Intent. You can still Diabolic Intent. You can still do most of the sacrifices.
It doesn't actually shut. Yeah, it still is a creature.
It's going to be turn three by the time you're able to Volatile Storm Drake.
So you demonic tutor for either a card advantage or something specific.
Probably. That's what I would do, yeah.
I would have kept this hand. I would have been prepared to die early on, but if I don't die, and if I get to untap on turn three, probably in a good spot to win.
Yeah, I think just going up against three Rog size just makes it really weird in general, but I think we did our best, and we probably came out on top all of those games.
I think we won all those games, yeah. If we would have played them all out, we
didn't
all.
Lose a game today.
No,
yeah.
I think I specifically said that Kinnan won one of the Timna
well, yeah,
games.
You did. You won that game.
Oh, we won that game.
Okay. We won all the games.
We won all the games. Yeah, we won them all.
Thanks so much for watching. If you'd like to support us directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
Jude Knowles, Spangler, Demetrius Clark, Larceny Roars, Your Boy Blue, Sparky B, Insomnia, SC Phillip, Olden Krumpy, Gecko 21, Caleb Ritchie, Zach Hartley, Reactive, Sean in the Ice, Luke Cook, David of Rosgreaves, Peter Struder, Cornell Wild, Uncle Butts, Nick Foles, Go to Nine, Quadra Hamid, Lauren Kynell, Scott Hawk, and Baby Jeebus.
I got a blinking red light, so I just shut that camera off. You don't need my face anymore.
No, I don't.
Social media and our website, playtowin.com. Playtowinmtg.com?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Dragon Shield, for supporting the show. Use code PlayToWin5 or our affiliate link down below.
Listen, one wheeling is cool as fuck, but do not do it in the dark with no helmet on the ice when you maybe had a beer or two. Don't do that.
All right, $50 patrons real quick. Sarcastic, Roy Turner, Mystic Muffin Man, Zachary Coulson, Jabaha, Mace the Ace, Dalton Poteet, Justin, Mansolo, Jacob Depp, Jan Wildfang, Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson.
Welcome to Play to Win. Welcome to Play to Win. Cameron talks.
And I'm Cam. And I'm Cam.
And Tyler talks.
I'm a luscious little baby.
Who will be the baby of the year?
Oh, no, I can't smile that hard.
Oh, no, Tyler, this might be a painful hour for you.
This is what happens to Tyler when he loses, is what we do.
I already have it.
That's why he's so good. We do this every time he loses.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.